Truth for Life. Weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR Talk and online at afr.net.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
You know, I read a good quote by Martin Luther King Jr., the famed American civil rights leader. Dr. King said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." And with that quote, my name is Alex McFarland. We welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word, where we're going to continue in the book of Jeremiah. We're going to be at Jeremiah 46, and with me is Wesley Wildman. Bert Harper is traveling, and Wesley and I were on yesterday, had a great time, and got to your Bible questions and telephone calls, which we'll do again today as well. But Wesley, good afternoon, my brother.
Good afternoon, Friday edition here of Exploring the Word. We're excited to be able to get to your phone calls as soon as possible. Where are you today, Alex?
Well, I am at North Greenville University in the upstate of South Carolina. We call it the upstate, kind of the foothills, really pretty. And I'm getting ready to get on an airplane, going to head out to Indiana and speak at a youth rally. And so I would ask everybody to keep me in prayer for this weekend. I'm going to be talking to teenagers, and then I'm heading to Tupelo, Mississippi to be, I'll be live in the studio Monday and Tuesday.
Yes, and for those that are just now listening for the first time, or we have some that's been listening for a while but didn't really know where we were broadcast from, we broadcast from Tupelo, Mississippi live. And you know, Alex travels, and so he's on a Comrex. But the headquarters of AFR is in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Alex, we're looking forward to having you here next week in the studio as we continue on the book of Jeremiah.
Well, praise God. And, you know, Wesley, I tell people, seriously, Tupelo is the friendliest city in the USA, I really believe. Over the last 7 years now doing Exploring the Word, I come to Tupelo quite frequently, and that's where the headquarters of American Family Association is. I do want to say there's an article in the AFA Journal. The ministry publishes a monthly magazine that is just outstanding, the AFA Journal, and if you don't get it, I would encourage you to start being a reader of the AFA Journal. And Bert and I are in there this month about a prayer rally we're going to be doing, but for those that might be in Attica, Indiana, this is not too far from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm going to be there this weekend, Attica, Indiana, and the address is on my website, alexmcfarland.com. And so there's a lot going on, but the heart of this show, folks, is the Word of God. And yesterday we were in a really, I think, just a precious chapter. Chapter 45 is really brief, just five verses, and it's a word of encouragement to Baruch. Now, Baruch was Jeremiah's friend, and really kind of his stenographer, wrote down the words of Jeremiah's preaching. But today we're going to take a quick kind of flyover of several chapters, 46 through 51, really which are warnings to the Gentile nations that God is going to punish Gentile nations that have oppressed Israel. And these are Egypt and Philistia and Tyre and Sidon and Moab and Ammon and Edom and several others. But Wesley, you know, Jew or Gentile, the Israelites or the pagan nations around them, here's one thing we can walk away with for sure. There is a consequence to sin, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And that's exactly one major thing that we see in the book of Jeremiah. And you can see that. We read yesterday that the people provoked God to anger because of their idols, and we're going to see that today also, that God's anger is provoked by man's sin, and so there are definitely consequences. You know, Alex, we think about, we don't like to think about the consequences all often the time. We like to think of God as a loving God who is passive in the sense that he forgives sin. Well, that's true. But that does not ever remove the consequences for our sin. So though he may forgive us if we repent and ask for it, the fact is, though, that if a man commits adultery, he's likely to be divorced. There's likely to be a consequence even though he may repent.
Well, yeah. And you're right. Nowadays, a lot of people are really, they see only the view of God in their mind, that he's just this sweet grandfatherly old figure up in the sky. Yeah. And God would never judge. But if you read the Word of God, yes, God is a loving God. He loved the world so much to send Jesus to pay for our sins and make it possible for us to be born again and go to heaven. But God is a righteous God, and all accounts will be settled. You know, Thomas Jefferson, who a lot of people love to paint Jefferson as a secularist, but Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Thomas Jefferson said that, and the fact that if God is just, and we know he is, and he intervenes, and he does, you know, honor righteousness and punish sin and guilt, then it behooves us to turn to God. Now, that's called repentance, and the good news is, folks, whoever you are, maybe you're feeling under conviction, and you realize, if you're honest with yourself, that there's sin in your life, there are things in your life you know the Lord is not pleased with. Well, praise God, you can turn. You can turn the car around, and you can turn from sin to Christ, and the Bible calls that repentance. And Wesley, you know, as we get into Jeremiah 46 here, the chance to repent, turn to God, be forgiven, start on a new, fresh path, I mean, that's one of the greatest realities the human mind could possibly ponder, isn't it?
Yes, it is, absolutely. And I'm just scanning over here. Or how are we going to do a flyby of 46 through 51?
Well, you know, sometimes Bert and I do that. Bert will get me in high gear, but what God tells them is in 46, like the floodwaters of the Nile River, Egypt is going to try to flood all over the earth, and there's going to be a battle. And so, interestingly, you know, there's this a song, there is a balm in Gilead. In verse 11, it says, go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain you shall use many medicines, for you will not be cured. Do you know, it's interesting how verse 11 of Jeremiah 46 is almost sarcastic. Now, Gilead was a place where they would take herbs and try to make medicines, and the true balm of Gilead, B-A-L-M, the true balm, is Jesus Christ. But God is basically saying, look, Egypt, you're going to oppress the world like a flood, but you're the one who's going to get schooled, you're going to get judged, and there's not going to be a medicine that's going to be able to heal the wound that I'll inflict on you. Verse 13, the word that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Wesley, it seems like throughout much of Scripture and through much of ancient history, you know, these world superpowers, Babylon is flexing their muscles, Egypt is flexing their muscles, and there's a god that the Egyptians trusted in, a god named Apis, A-P-I-S, who was a bull. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures, or maybe even the Ten Commandments movie with Yul Brynner. There was these gods with the head of a bull. But God is reminding the Egyptians, look, these false gods, these statues you've carved out, not going to be able to save you. And you think you're going to flood the earth, but the judgment of God and the sovereign providential intervention of God will overtake you. God's a powerful God, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And we're going to see his power all through the book of Jeremiah and all through the words of God from Genesis to Revelation. We're so grateful you've tuned in this afternoon, this Friday edition on Exploring the Word. We're trying to play catch up and get through a couple chapters so that we can take your phone calls toward the end of the program. Bert Harper's out, as you continue to pray for him as he travels with his wife. And what was that event you mentioned earlier that was in the AFA Journal that you're going to be at with him?
Oh, well, thanks, Wesley. Yeah, September 16th. Listen up, folks. It's going to be amazing. September 16th, Bert and I will be in Fayetteville, and we'll be live Friday night, September 16th. The gates will open. We're going to be at a place called Festival Park. The gates will open about 4. The program starts at 5, And there's going to be preaching, there's going to be testimony, there's going to be prayer, there's going to be music. And it's an amazing event put on by the churches of Fayetteville, and I believe it's Cumberland County there. I think that's the name of the region. But folks, we want you to be there because it's going to be a gathering of thousands of people. It's going to be unforgettable. It's for all ages. The most thing of all, though, besides the music, the concert, we're going to be praying for America. And you know, Wesley, with an election just weeks away, we're on the eve of the future of our countries being written before our very eyes. And you see, we have an opportunity to participate. We can vote. We can pray. We can exercise our rights as citizens. And so Bert and I are going to be joining with the great folks of that region to pray. The website is afa.net/awaken, afa.net/awaken.
And we've learned so much just from the prophet Jeremiah. I know I filled in a couple weeks back and helping out here as we get through these couple of chapters, and just learned so much about his faithfulness to what God's called him to do. And you can see the way he responded in difficult times when he was faced with imprisonment, and he was put in prison and even threatened his life, but he remained faithful and spoke exactly what the Lord said. And he does the same thing in chapter 47, mm-hmm. where he opens up and he speaks from the Lord.
Well, and chapter 46 closes out. God says, Jacob, don't be afraid. Israel, I'm going to save you from afar off. I'm going to punish Pharaoh in Egypt and all their gods and their kings. That's verse 25. But do not be afraid. I'm with you. I will make a... This is amazing, and this is almost like the end of time. The Lord says, I will make a full end of all the nations. They're going to be punished, the pagan nations, but I will not forsake you. So now, 47, there's a prophecy against the Philistines. You know, Wesley, nowadays, when you hear the word Palestinian or Palestine, that's really kind of a modernized rendering of the word for Philistia. But chapter 47, God is talking about the judgment that's going to come. He says water is going to come out of the north and flood and destroy the people who live them. Now, what this means is the Babylonians are going to be like a flood. In 46, the Egyptians are compared to flooding water. In 47, the Babylonians are. You know, sometimes in the Bible, Wesley, sea and water is compared to people groups. Mm-hmm. You know, like the sea of nations. And it talks about the Antichrist, a beast that rose up out of the sea. Well, it's really the sea of humanity. And so sometimes people are compared to water and flood. Generally, flood and the ocean have the implication in Scripture of judgment. Have you ever noticed that, Wesley?
I haven't, until you pointed that out. And I know that's going to be a great tool for our listening audience as they... we've got good stewards in our listening audience, and as they go through the Bible, we need to remember that. That's a very good point, Alex.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's Gaza, Ashkelon. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. Now, you might remember Ashkelon. That's where David fought Goliath. Mm-hmm. So take us out, Brother Wesley.
Well, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We'll be back here shortly, finish up chapter 48 and 49, maybe get to 50, and then we'll take your phone calls in the last segment. Stay with us.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
$22 billion of damage occurred last year in October in South Carolina due to flooding. They saw rain that they had never seen. It was a 1,000-year flood. And now you and I get a chance to go with 8 Days of Hope this October to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes. 16,000 homes suffered some type of damage. We expect thousands of volunteers to come from around the country to southeastern South Carolina in October. We're looking for roofers and plumbers and electricians, people that know how to paint and hang drywall. There's something for everybody at 8 Days of Hope. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sign up for at least 3 days between October 8th and 15th
And if you're not able to go, you can still help with a financial donation at 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Today, Yael Eckstein shares how Israel became her true home and what it means for the Jews to have a land to call their own.
I find my sense of belonging and peace on the holy soil of Israel. And after searching and running over what felt like the entire world, it was the only place that I found safety. I've often thought what a blessing the modern state of Israel is to the Jewish people, and how it is the manifestation of the collective prayers of my people through thousands of years of exile and persecution. God gave me and all of us a gift, the state of Israel. You might think that this is the end of the story, that we have the state of Israel, and therefore the idea of a Jew being persecuted is a thing of the past. But sadly, this couldn't be farther from the truth. Every week, the fellowship receives dozens of emergency requests from Jews around the world, specifically in Middle Eastern countries, begging to help bring them home. We make sure that within a month, they are on a chartered flight destined for Israel. When I go to the airport to greet them, the look in their eyes is pure joy, thanksgiving, and relief to have a place to escape to. Sure, we have our problems as a country. We have birthing pains, which lead to improvement and development, but those are the details. The larger picture is that we have a homeland, and that's enough for me.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments, brought to you by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. To receive Yael's Corner each week via email, and to add Yael as a friend on Facebook, visit holylandmoments.org. You can also explore issues facing Israel today, discover insights on Judaism, and learn about the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. That's holylandmoments.org.
Hey, it's Crane, and coming up at 5 Central on this afternoon's Nothing But Truth, AFN's anchor, reporter, Chris Woodward beats the press's coverage of the week's top stories, including the FFM price spike, Hillary's emails, and Trump's immigration shift. Plus, you'll hear the clip of the week and about some of the best college football traditions. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Well, we do stand on the promises of God's Word, and I'll give you one right now. And this is why we emphasize the study of the Bible. And Psalm 119, verse 93, I love one of my favorite verses. It says, "I will never forget your words, for through them I found life." Mm. And we want you to know the life of Jesus Christ, salvation, forgiveness, and just the joy of knowing that you're secure in the Lord. Come what may, whatever life is going to throw at you, you'll be ready for it because your name is in His book. You belong to Christ. And that's what we want for each and everyone listening to this show today. My name is Alex McFarland. With me, hundreds of miles away, but at the mic, is Wesley Wildman. And Wesley, let's give that number out, because in just a few moments we're going to get to the telephone calls and the Bible questions. What is that toll-free number?
The toll-free number is 888-589-8840. That's, once again, that's 888-589-8840.
And we will get to your Bible questions. We'll do our best to give you a good, scripturally informed answer. Let me give you something here, folks. We're going over the latter chapters of Jeremiah, and Bert and I and Wesley have been in the book of Jeremiah for several weeks. Jeremiah was a preacher that he had a pretty hard message. Sin is sin, God is holy, repent. And in these last chapters, the judgment of the Gentile nations, chapter 46, the Egyptians, chapter 47, the Philistines, chapter 48, the Moabites, which were distant relatives of the Jewish people. Chapter 49, the Ammonites. Chapter 50, prophecies against Babylon. And chapter 51, the fall of Babylon. One of the things about it, Wesley, that you can take away from all this. I mean, there's very descriptive talk of the people, how they're going to be judged. Verse 42 of chapter 48, Moabite was proud and magnified himself above the Lord, but they're going to be thrown to the pit. But all these nations, these Gentile nations, they made war against the people of God, they blasphemed, but here's the thing, they had false gods they trusted. Some of them were just frankly kind of odd, like Ashtaroth and the Queen of Heaven that they talked about, and Apis. Some of these gods were half human, half animal, but all of them were false, non-existent gods. Now the reason I bring that out, Wesley, is because even nowadays, don't we, maybe we're trusting in the money we've got in the bank, and we think, you know, I'm okay because if anything comes my way, I can buy my way out of it. Or maybe we've got pride, or maybe, you know, there might be someone listening who's dabbling in the occult, and you're dabbling in Wicca or something, but there's no God but the true God. People needed to know it back then. People need to know it now.
Yes, that's true, and that's the reason why I believe it's the second commandment, to have no other carven images of me. That's why God thought that was very important. He wrote that with his finger in stone. And so it's very important that we look around and examine our lives, even as Christians, that we don't begin to go backwards into our old lifestyle of idolatry of different things and different objects, because we can look around and see that, don't you just hate it, Alex, when you have a friend or you see someone off in the distance who are consumed with different idols and material things, and we know as Christians how that is just not eternally satisfying, and that as soon as you get to what you think you want, then you get it, and then what's next? And then there's always a next, but with our identity in Christ and with our salvation found in Him, He's ultimately the end goal to a Christian, is walking in fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that Jeremiah did that. He did that all the way through the book of Jeremiah, and we saw the end results. And that doesn't remove the sufferings and the trials that he faced, but it gave him great comfort in those trials and the things that he faced, that he had the promises of God all through Scripture. And if you haven't followed in the footsteps of the Lord and haven't surrendered your life to Him, we want to invite you to do that today on the program. And if you do so, that's between you and the Lord. And if you want to call in and let us know about it, we'd love to hear about it as well.
Listen to this. I'm going to read a little bit out of 51, then I'm going to go backwards just a bit. So hang with me, folks. But Wesley's talking about, you know, when we see a friend who's away from God, or we try to witness or something. In 51, it's talking about the judgment of God on Babylon. And we don't really have time to read it all because it's very, very lengthy. But the bottom line, all of these pagan nations are going to experience the judgment of God. But here's the thing. It says in verse 9 of chapter 51, "We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone, into his own country, for her judgment reaches unto heaven." In other words, the degree to which God is going to chastise and judge. Verse 10, "But the Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God." Now, you look around. Let's talk about a 21st century Babylon called the United States of America. You've got all sorts of sin. You've got just immorality that passes for primetime entertainment. You've got abortion. You've got the abolition of morality and the mainstreaming and the attempted legitimization of homosexuality. We Christians that share the gospel, God loves you, Christ died for you, turn to the Lord, be saved. There's a lot of people that probably despise everything that we Christians stand for. But Wesley, I relate to verse 9. We would have healed Babylon. We Christians, it's not that we think we're better than anybody. We don't think we're better. We know we're sinners, but we know of Jesus. We can tell you about somebody that is righteous and will forgive anything. And I really resonate with Jeremiah 51:9. I look around America. We Christians, we've got the good news of Jesus for anyone who wants to listen. We would love to see our nation healed, but right at the moment she won't be healed. And I believe, Wesley, just like God judged these nations, I think there's judgment happening in our nation right now. And there's a lot we could speculate what that might be, but America's not the America she once was. And I believe the problems are all traceable to that three-letter word. It's called sin.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Alex, with the I also believe, having thought about this for a while, I believe that we are in judgment right now. And I believe, but now it could also get intense, and it could heat up, and it could get a lot worse. But we are given an opportunity to repent as a nation. I don't remember all the details, but I do know several years back, Uganda as a nation, they came forth and they repented of their sins. The leader there did, and acknowledged mm-hmm. God as their Lord. And, you know, just imagine, could you imagine if America did that? You know, the leaders of America, political leaders of America, we know the church does this regularly, but the political leaders, if they would step forward and recognize God as being the supreme God and just repent. Obviously, changes don't, you know, the things that happen, they've happened over a period of time, several years. They don't just happen again overnight. So we understand that there's a process and things that have to take place, but the repentance does. It can happen overnight. Yeah. It can happen in a moment. And that just comes from a humbled heart and the leaders of America to recognize that God did create marriage, and He is the institution, and mm-hmm. and He's ultimate.
You know, you mentioned Uganda. It's funny you would mention that, because the conference that I was in over the weekend in Colorado, there was a representative there from Uganda who told the amazing story mm-hmm. of how a nation repented. Yep. I mean, it's like biblical. And let me tell you, they turned to God.
Yep.
Now, all of this reminds me, I've got a verse for you, folks. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 10 says, "Man cannot contend with him who is mightier than he." And in the Bible, you'll see "him" is capitalized. God. I mean, look, you don't fight God. Hmm. You don't shake your fist in the face of the Lord and not eventually have to face repercussions. Now, God is patient. God is very merciful. The Bible says He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But sin, eventually, there comes a payday. Now, I want to digress just a moment and go backward a bit to chapter 50, verse 40, and then we're going to go to 52. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason that I'm doing it this way. It says, "As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, so no man shall abide there, neither shall any man dwell therein." Some have said, well, wait a minute. In Jeremiah, it says that Babylon is going to be overthrown like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was just thoroughly obliterated. And some have said, well, you know, about 500 B.C., about 500 A.D., Babylon, you know, kind of fizzled out. But the fact is that Babylon was never completely destroyed. In fact, back in the late 80s and early 90s, there was talk of rebuilding the city of Babylon. And in fact, they did try to excavate and rebuild some of that. I believe, really, that Babylon, in addition to being an actual physical locality, in many ways, Babylon has been pictorial of a godless world system, a religious, political, and economic system that is completely the enemy of God. And ultimately, Jeremiah's prophecy of the full obliteration of Babylon is going to be during the last days, during the tribulation. You read Revelation 18 when the Bible calls it the whore Babylon, which is the world system under the leadership of the Antichrist. The judgment is going to reach all the way to heaven, and the final, full, complete obliteration of every system that sets itself up against God will be accomplished during the tribulation period.
Yes, and that's something that we're probably going to get a lot of questions on now that you brought that up, Alex.
Well.
Because we know our audience loves to talk about the end times, and especially the book of Revelation. You know, I've got like a really, really good series out on the book of Revelation, and you can find that at the AFAstore.net. It's there, and it's really well done, put together. And y'all go through, is it an eight CDs? Y'all go through the book of Revelation?
Yeah, I think it is. And Revelation has 22 chapters. And, you know, as you might expect, we have to go kind of quickly. But we do. I think it's 8 lessons. And we've got some notes that go with it. And Bert and I do studies like that. I'll tell you, Wesley, we also did a study of the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is 31 chapters. And I wrote a book with Tyndale Publishers, a devotional on the book of Proverbs. And so Bert and I kind of taught through that, and that's going to be available really soon at the AFA store. And my book and our recordings will go with it. But here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to get to your calls, but we're going to wrap up Jeremiah. And so basically chapter 52, if this were being published, we'd call it the complete works of the pastor, preacher, Jeremiah. But something prophesied in chapter 39, the fall of Jerusalem, we get great detail in the final chapter. And so what's going to happen as Jeremiah closes? Zedekiah is reigning. The Babylonians, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, they just come in and they blitzkrieg Jerusalem in the 9th year of Zedekiah for 2 years till his 11th year. And so Jerusalem's going to run out of food. People are going to starve. The Babylonians are going to take the city. People are going to try to flee, but they're going to get apprehended. And so this is how it's going to end, that the temple is going to get raided. And it lists in chapter 52, the utensils of the temple are going to be carried away by the Babylonians. The things they use to burn incense to the true and living God, all that stuff is going to get confiscated, and people are going to be taken into exile. Now, that's really sad, but at least there's a little bit of a note of hope that God will eventually, on the death of Nebuchadnezzar, and given enough time, there's going to be a remnant that is able to return. Wesley, there's always that remnant that knows who God is. There's always the remnant that is wise enough to hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit, open their heart to God, the true God, the one living Lord. There's always that remnant that's wise enough to turn to God, isn't there?
Yes, and that's what I want to ask our audience today. Are you the remnant? Are you the remnant? Are you the remnant that is always going to be wise and turn to the Lord? And the way that you know that you are is if you're faithful, you continue to be faithful, and you prepare behind the scenes, because we know that when it happens so fast that we have to have already prepared behind scenes, and we need to remember what God's done for us in the past, continue to be faithful and trust Him, and He will use us remnants as Christians. He will use us to influence and to bring light to the culture, even in the midst of despair, and He will use us. I'm certain of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, talking about the remnant here as Jeremiah 52 closes, now there's a lot of people that get captive, there's a lot of people that die and are taken away, but among those carried away to Babylon would have been Ezekiel and Daniel, and they certainly stood strong for God. One last thing, I know we're coming up on a break. Now, folks, this will stir your imagination. It lists all these things in verse 16, 17, down to about 20. But you know what it doesn't list falling into pagan hands? The Ark of the Covenant. So Where is it? We don't know. Take us out, Wesley.
All right. We'll come back. Listen to the third part of the program. We're going to take your phone calls, 888-589-8840.
Have you ever noticed how everyone loves the joy side of revival? There are two sides to revival, the brokenness side and the joy side. You cannot have true joy without true brokenness. You see, brokenness involves turning from our sin, or what the Bible calls repentance. Repentance is the lost word of the gospel today. Many preachers invite people to just add Jesus to their already messed up life rather than doing an about face, turning from their sin to Christ in true repentance. Brokenness and repentance are then followed by joy, a new joy that provides a new freedom, a new life, a new Lord. Most of us let circumstances determine our joy and happiness, but there's a vast difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy is the fruit of a spirit-filled life. Today, as you cry out to God, start from a place of brokenness so you can experience true Holy Spirit-filled joy. I'm Steve Canfield with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Wesley Biblical Seminary provides a solid foundation based upon the inerrancy of the Bible and the call to holy living. Online or at our Jackson, Mississippi or Greenwood, Indiana campuses, our academically rigorous learning community will add incredible value to your Christian experience. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning ignite with passion for Christ. WBS.edu.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll continue to inform listeners.
I don't know anybody who's ever been pulled over for driving while gay.
Encourage Christians to make a difference.
Our encouragement to folks is to find some help to, in a Christian way, deal with the temptation. Amen.
And equip you to help restore the moral foundations of our nation.
It's the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekdays at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR or online at AFR.net.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveof.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
You're listening to Exploring the Word. Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
Well, we're holding on to those promises, the realities of God's Word. And, you know, I got a Facebook message this morning from somebody who was asking me, you know, why do we believe the Bible? And we have a lot of compelling reasons, and we talk about those a lot. And one of the things, folks, when you're defending why we believe what we believe, that's called apologetics. And we talk a little bit about that throughout many, many shows. And so we might get some questions like that in this show. But the good news is this, that God gave His Word, God has preserved His Word, and while we believe by faith, yes, by faith, it is a faith undergirded, validated by compelling lines of evidence. And so we're going to give that number, and Wesley Wildman and I are going to get straight to your Bible questions, 888-589-8840. I always enjoy this part of the show, don't you, Wesley?
Yes, I do. And so you're trying to tell me that apologetics is not what you say when you back into someone's car in a parking lot, right?
No, that would be apologizing.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully nobody listening has to do that today.
Yeah, I hope not. But I've written an article on EngageMagazine.net. As we're waiting for phone calls, I'll share a little bit about it. Apologetics, simple definition, simple application. You know, for so many people, apologetics, they think about Robbie Zacharias. They may even think about Josh McDowell, these really big apologetics who, and then all they also may think of, you know, really long 900-page books. And all those are apologetics, but for your layperson, we can still exercise and be active in apologetics by just being able to give an answer to a question that is asked for us. And so that's basically what I talk about in the article on how even as born again Bible believing lay people, that we need to be able to give a reason. And if we don't have the answer, we can always say, look, I don't have it now, but I'll get it. And I've done that a lot through my young life as a Christian on college campuses, as I entertain questions and would try to give an answer for it. There were times where I didn't have one, but I told them, I said, I will get back with you. We met back that same time the next week, and I had an answer for them. And there's a lot of really good resources out there. Alex, what's the website to where they can get some of your books? Because I've used your material a lot.
Well, God bless you. Thanks. You know, it's been my privilege to write 16 books on apologetics and the culture and how to reach into the lives of people. And, you know, a lot of my stuff is available at AFA Store. My own website, alexmcfarland.com, has an online place where you can get my books, but just anywhere. And let me encourage you, folks, if you live in a town with a Christian bookstore, support your local Christian bookseller. I know in Tupelo there's a Christian bookstore that I go to a lot, and certainly in everyone's town is probably a good Christian bookstore, a gospel bookstore. And, you know, every year, Wesley, I go to the book convention. It's usually in the summertime, the Christian booksellers. And a lot of these people that run Christian bookstores, they're not really making any money. I mean, they do it as a ministry. It's kind of a break-even type of thing. And so any bookstore, the big national stores, they've all got my books. But let me just throw this out there, and then we're going to get to the phone calls, 888-589-8840.
We have some. We've got two lined up ready to give.
Okay. As much as we love the information, and we love the data, and we can talk about history and science and the manuscripts, and all that's valid, but I believe the gospel moves forward on relationships. And I think we've got a real call to become friends with unsaved people, because it's friendship, it's trust, it's care that makes people thirsty and hungry for Jesus that they see in our lives.
Yes. It's the old saying that no one cares how much you know until they know that you care. And that's exactly right. Thank you so much. We're going to go straight to our phone calls. We have one lined up right now, Tony from Kentucky. Tony, what's your question you have for us today?
Hey, guys. I just really wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your program. And you've really piqued my interest today in speaking in about the remnant. And I really believe that God is preparing his remnant right now. I think we're not in judgment, but we're heading into judgment. He's setting us up for that, but he's also allowed us to see what's coming. And I really think that, and I feel it in my spirit that he has, I read a lot of the minor prophets and all, and how much he cared about his people, even though they were so steeped in sin. He kept sending man after man after man and prophet after prophet to speak to his people, just almost begging them to change their ways, repent of their sin so he could save their land. And they refused, but there was always that remnant. And I guess I really didn't have a question. I just pretty much wanted to make that comment that I really feel like he's preparing his remnant today for what's coming on America. Because as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, he totally destroyed that. But there was always a remnant, regardless of what city or country. Even when the Babylonians came in, they set aside a place for a certain group of people that was part of that remnant, and even in slavery. So I really feel like that's what is being set up right in front of our eyes today.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. We couldn't agree with you more. We're so grateful you called in. Thank you for your kind words at the beginning, telling us how much you appreciate the program. We're grateful for that. We're grateful for you calling. And, you know, that's okay to think that we're not in judgment. You know, it's hard to tell to be realistic unless unless you're God himself. But, you know, the reason I said we are is based off the suffering of all the sin that's going on in the country. That's just my understanding of it. But we need, our phone board has lit up just in the last 2 minutes, so we need to get to as many phone calls as possible. So I'm going to move us on to Trey from Texas. Trey, what's your question that you have for us today?
Yes, sir. We have a Bible study that we go to, and this question came up. What happened to the people before Jesus? I mean, I know Abraham is in heaven, but did they go to heaven? That's my question, and I'll hang up and listen.
Trey, that's a good question. I'll jump in here and give you just about 30 seconds, and then I'll let Alex kind of fill us in here. So before then, the, like, for example, you're probably referring to Genesis 15:6 is which where my mind went when you asked that question, and that's Abraham believed in the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so he believed upon the Lord, and so I believe that he went to heaven at death. Alex?
That's a great answer, Wesley. And you know, the answer is faith. You know, I'm going to read you Hebrews 11:39, and it you know, it talks about all these Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Jephthah and Samuel and Rahab, and this great long list in Hebrews 11, kind of the Faith Hall of Fame. It says, all of these, having gained approval through their faith, had not yet received what was promised, mm-hmm. but God provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, what that means is the Old Testament people didn't get saved differently than us.
Right.
We look back at the Jesus who came in faith. They looked forward to the Jesus who would come. So the Old Testament people that in faith, they believed God and God's promise about this coming Messiah. Habakkuk chapter 2 says that they were justified. They were made right in the sight of God through faith. And so, same Jesus, just two different sides of the cross.
And still faith. In both cases, it was that person's faith or that individual's faith that saved them. And what they had faith in, you know, whether it was Jesus or God, or as it says there in Genesis 15:6, his faith and the Lord, it made him righteous. So, well, let's move on to John from North Carolina. John, what's the question you have for us today?
Just a quick question about, Alex had mentioned that the Ark of the Covenant had not been carried out of Jerusalem whenever they had invaded. Have you guys had any chance to check into Ron Wyatt's findings concerning that? Back in the late 80s, early 90s, he claims to have discovered that. And I just wondering if you, I know that's kind of throwing you a curveball at that, but I just wondering what you had found on that or had even looked into it.
Yeah, you know, there's a dispute about this. Is it in Jerusalem? Is it buried under the Temple Mount? And there's been claims that people have seen it. There's also a kind of a church tradition that it was taken and hidden in Ethiopia. And supposedly, and we've heard, you know, cryptic references to a guild or a group that's for all these centuries looked after the Ark of the Covenant. Is it in Ethiopia? Is it in Jerusalem? Or maybe is it gone? Maybe was it destroyed? I really don't know. I don't know. My gut feeling, and I mean, this is, you know, the history and the reports and the speculations go every which way. I got to tell you, I got a gut feeling the Ark will be found at some point. And what would be the great catalyst to prompt the Jewish people to finally rebuild their temple? And I will tell you, let me just say this. If the Ark of the Covenant ever emerges and sees the light of day, turns out it was preserved and it's it comes, you know, unveiled again, just hang on, because for sure the clock of prophecy and the final moments of this world's history will surely be happening at that point. But right now, I just don't know that anybody definitively knows.
Well, that's a great question, and thank you for calling and asking that. And I don't know if any question is on guard. He said we may catch you off guard. Any question on this program is going to be ready for us to do the best we can with. So we're going to move on to Joe from Michigan. Joe, we're so grateful you called in to Exploring the Word today and the finals part of this Friday edition. What's your question for us?
Is this me, Joe? Am I on?
Yes, Joe, take it away. What All question right. you have?
All right, guys, I sure appreciate you guys. You're so wonderful, and I listen to you every day.
Well, thank
However,
you.
However, Alex, I got a question for you. You said something about yesterday about everybody who hadn't heard of Jesus, that you'd be judged by the light of the revelation given to them naturally, or in those kind of words, and I don't want to misconstrue what you said, but I got a question. I'm really struggling between the church and the Bible that says, say, in Ephesians, that, you know, you're saved by grace through faith, yourself, the gift of God, lest anyone boast, that, you know, we kind of stand on the, in the church as, it doesn't matter how good you are, no matter how hard you work at it, no matter how holy you try to be, you just by nature can't, and you need Jesus. So really, that lady who called and asked, hey, where are my loved ones going if I never, never heard about Jesus Christ? I mean, don't we have to say, if you don't know about Jesus, and that's the only way on the way, the truth, and life, then don't you have to say that they are going to hell?
Yeah. Let me say this. The book I wrote with Elmer Towns, we devote two chapters to this about what about those who have never heard. And what we do is we give the kind of different perspectives of people that have wrestled with this question. But what God would not do is, my point yesterday is this, in yes, people that die in a state of rejection of God's overtures, a willful, conscious rejection, unbelief against the light they've gotten, they're lost, they're condemned. But there are people living in the world right now that have never heard the name of Jesus. And Romans 1 says there's natural revelation, there's creation and conscience. Creation had to have a creator. The moral law written on our heart condemns us, because deep in our heart we know we've done wrong. So we stand guilty. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. We've got the imputed unrighteousness of Adam and Eve, and then we do sinful stuff. So we have a twofold indictment against us. But then we have, even those that don't know about Jesus or Scripture, have a twofold source of light, creation and conscience. Now, there are scholars like, you know, C.S. Lewis and Billy Graham that have said this, God would not mandate that you do something it would be impossible for you to do. So people would be judged on the response they gave to the light they had. Now, here's the question. This is where it all comes together. Natural revelation. There must be a God. There must be some kind of moral standard. Now, special revelation, Scripture and Savior, tell us what kind of God and who this God is. Here's the question. Natural revelation is sufficient to condemn, but scripturally, can we say that natural revelation is sufficient to save? And I don't really think so, because it says in the Word of God that in times past, overlooked man's ignorance, but now God commends people everywhere to repent. So here's the question. If somebody throws herself at God, like Acts 17, and says, God, whoever you are, I'll believe you. I'm sorry for my sins. I know I'm guilty before you. God, if I knew who you were, I'd believe in you. I don't fully know who you are, but God, whoever you are, please save me, forgive me. If a person thoroughly threw themselves at the mercy of this God, a lot of scholars, I'll tell you one, Dave Beck and Gary Habermas of Liberty University, and I'm talking about conservatives, I'm not talking about liberal universalists, I'm talking about conservatives, they said, look, if somebody threw themselves at the mercy of God, God would save them. The question is, would the guilty, fallen human heart do that? And I just don't know. There's only one person's heart that I can speak of definitively, and that's Alex McFarland. Mm-hmm. And so, folks, what we would say is diligently look at the one heart you do know about, and that's your own.
Yes, that's exactly right. And pray for those that do not know, and pray for those that may need to hear, and you may be that person that could share the gospel with them. But you're exactly right, Alex. Well, thank you so much for listening to Exploring the World on this Friday edition. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. If you missed the first couple episodes, you can listen to the archive on AFR.net. We will see you back Monday, and Alex and I will continue on in the book of Jeremiah.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American family.